and welcome to That Co-op Podcast, where controller meets conversation. I'm Anna.
And I'm Ed. If you're tuning in on your favorite podcast app, don't forget, we've got a video version on YouTube at That Co-op Couple, where we play games while we chat.
Today's episode is all about the games that made us, our childhood favorites that sparked our love for gaming.
We'd love to hear yours, too. Drop us a comment and tell us which games made you fall in love with gaming.
All right. Do you want to start us off here?
Yeah, I'm going to go wild. I'm going to start off. Picture little 4 or 5 year old me.
Edward.
With an NES. And I'm not that old. I want to be clear. I'm not NES old. No, the NES is from like the 80s. Calm down. I'm not that old. It was my mother's NES, actually. She kind of like is the first person who got me into video games. She was the one who handed me the NES for the first time and said, have fun, kid. You're an only child. Here's how you can entertain yourself. So I'm going to go with a game that I bet very few people have ever heard of.
Whoa.
Bugs Bunny's Birthday Blowout.
Shout out in the comments for Bugs Bunny Birthday Blowout.
I bet no one has ever heard of this game before. It is probably such a niche little game. I doubt it was even a popular game for the NES. But my mother had it. It was a game that was in her collection because I know she was a big Looney Tunes fan. And
Birthday Blowout.
It was Bugs Bunny's birthday.
And he had a blowout.
And he blew out his diapy. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure the whole premise of this game was literally you collecting birthday candles for Bugs's birthday cake.
Aww.
If I remember correctly.
Oh, I think Game Grumps actually played this.
Maybe. It was very platforming.
I vaguely remember something about that.
It was very give you an ether.
Also, we're playing Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
While we're talking.
Like we're talking about random things, it's because we are. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts is going on while we're playing.
Yeah. If you're listening on the pod, you will not be able to hear the audio or obviously see. But if you're joining us on our YouTube channel, you get to see all this fun stuff.
But anyway, Bugs Bunny's Birthday Blowout was a very kind of Mario-esque, was a very Mario-esque platforming game, typical enemies that you stomped on, obstacles to get through, that sort of thing. It was probably the very first video game I ever played. In fact, I pretty much guarantee it was the very first video game I ever played. I spent probably hours of my life playing that game. It was super fun to like 4-year-old me. I bet if I went back to it now.
Oh, it probably sucked.
Oh, it probably complete and total garbage. But I enjoyed it as but a wee lad. Following the same trend of the NES, obviously Mario Bros. Huge. Duck Hunt. Huge. When you give a 4-year-old a little like laser gun to point at a TV and shoot things with, that 4-year-old will love you for the rest of your life. So that pretty much secured my mother for the rest of my days. She gave me a gun and said, here you go, virtual ducks.
I'm sure your mom would love that on the internet.
Shout out to you, mom. She's not going to listen to this. Classic Donkey Kong. Like classic Mario is climbing up the ladders to get to Donkey Kong. Everyone's favorite classic Donkey Kong game. And Mega Man. I'm pretty sure the original Mega Man, maybe Mega Man 2. I'm not entirely sure I remember which one it was. I think it was the original Mega Man that came out on the NES, if I do remember correctly. All of those huge, huge, huge games that really influenced me early on in my life. And I can safely say this. I'm gonna break some really terrible news to the internet because I know for a fact my mother will not watch this, so it's okay. I made a mistake much later on in life when I was in college in order to afford a new PlayStation 4, made the mistake of selling my mother's NES. Without her permission, I should add. She has no idea that happened.
So she still thinks that you have it?
As far as she's concerned, I'm willing to bet she probably thinks it's back home in like storage in a box in her basement or something. I doubt it's something that she has even remotely thought about. I doubt it's something she even remembers really exists unless she were to like really, really, really think about it. She's never asked me about it. She's never mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's thought about it since I was probably 5 years old. So it was pretty easy for me to let that one slide. And mother, hopefully you'll never know. Quite frankly, I don't think she'll care. I really do not think she would care. I regret it. As an adult now who likes to collect like retro game stuff and things like that, I absolutely regret it now. I would much rather have that NES instead of a PS4, quite frankly. I love the PS4, obviously. It was something that I very much enjoyed playing when it happened. I need items. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not what I need.
Yeah, you have the hard job of you have the controller and you're starting us out. I don't think I'd be able to do that very well.
Okay. So the NES, my very first video games, I would say out of all of the ones that I mentioned, 100% it would be Duck Hunt. I spent so much time on Duck Hunt. I spent so much time on Bugs Bunny's Birthday Blowout. Shout out to that game. And everything else were games that I think, honestly, I was just a little too young to really understand. I think a four-year-old trying to play Donkey Kong is like really cool. You can get through level one and then you're screwed. Mm. You're not smart enough to figure out how to actually progress in the game. I don't think I was smart enough to learn how to play Mega Man correctly. Yeah, I think as a kid, I was just pressing buttons and really, really, really hoping for the best. Bugs Birthday.
I still do.
Right. It's pretty much exactly what I'm doing as we speak right now. But especially as a child. Oh, I missed the freaking thing again. As a child, I had not a clue what was going on in my life. But yeah, NES, first up. So what would you like to add as your very first games on the block?
So I'm going to also take it all the way back to Little Wee Anna. Let me preface this by saying that I grew up in the middle of Nowhereville, Pennsylvania, without, in the countryside, without internet, without cable. Well, obviously, internet. I guess
you're talking
obviously.
About like your first house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Without cable, without internet or anything like that. It was just my brother and I in the woods.
Grew up on the farm.
Yep, on the farm. We didn't have video games. We were just like playing in the dirt. So then when we moved, I was like maybe six. We were like, oh, this is what other normal children.
This is what civilization like.
This is what like people actually do. So our neighbors across the street had a yard sale. Mm. And I was maybe at this point six or seven. And we bought,
the same neighbors that still live across the street?
No, they're gone now. They had a yard sale, and I don't remember exactly who picked out what, but we ended up getting an N64, Nintendo 64, with like a ton of games, which I'll get into in a second. We got a Game Boy Pocket. We got the works. And this was already like, I don't know, maybe 2000.
A sick yard sale.
2000, like, no, but it was like the Nintendo 64 was already
very old.
And like not good at all. Maybe I feel like maybe the PS2 was like the thing of that era, whatever year that would have been, maybe like, I don't know, 2003 or 4 or something. I don't remember.
I don't know. The N64 might have still been fairly.
No, it was in what? When did the N64 come? I probably should have researched that.
Early 2000, late
90s. No, it was late. I did look this up at some point. It was early 90s, I think. It was before I was even born. So it would have been maybe 2002 when I got this. So it was already like way out. So we got this and it came with Mario 64.
Lovely.
007 GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. Super Smash Bros. Mm-hmm. The Star Wars Pod Racer game. And there were other things that came with it too, but I remember those being like the heavy hitters that we played all the time. So I already had, like, that was my first ever experience with video games. I remember playing Mario 64 a lot. My brother and I would play GoldenEye together, the Pod Racer game. And these all, like, I played them many, many, many years later, and they all suck. Like, they're not, obviously Mario 64 it doesn't suck, but it's just like the game mechanics were just so janky. Mm-hmm. But that's, I loved all of that. That being said, my neighbor, who I'm still friends with to this day, we're actually going to go to her wedding soon. Shout out Liz. She had an N64 with Pokemon Snap on it, and that changed my life, because all these games, all the other games, I would play with my brother. And then this was like, I would go over to her house and play. Like, it was just us playing, and we would try to get everything in the Pokédex. Actually, no, her brother had already gotten everything from the Pokédex, so we were just like messing around. Oh my goodness. Pokemon Snap is literally my everything. I'll talk more about it later, because we're going to talk about the newer version. But like, that was my, like, when I realized that I loved video games, we would spend hours at like our sleepovers. We would spend hours playing Pokemon Snap. And I would just, like, every time I came over, I would want to play Pokemon Snap. And it didn't occur to me that like I could just buy the game for our console, because I did not get it at all. We didn't own Pokemon Snap, so I don't know what was wrong with me until later in life, when I was like in college, I bought it for myself. But yeah, no, didn't occur to me that I could just get one for our house. I would always go over to her house and play.
Didn't
that
occur that you were also allowed to own the game? You thought there was just one copy of this game in the entire world.
No, I was like, that's hers. So then that's what we do when we go to her house, and then she plays our games. And that was the other thing, like the kind of a theme for a while is that like I really didn't know that I could have my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My brother was the one, I think, who like really wanted the N64. And so I think it was like a family thing, but he was the one who mostly played it, and he would like let me play them. Mm-hmm. And so I never really grew up like thinking, oh, I could just like ask for one for myself. I would just always borrow his stuff. But Pokemon Snap was like the big game changer of like, this is my game. My brother doesn't even have it. This is this is just for me. So yeah, Pokemon Snap was huge for little Anna. And honestly, still now, to be fair. But yeah. That's how I'm going to start my little timeline here.
Your little timeline here. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for both of us, we're both of the age where the N64 was very monumental in probably shaping both of our video game experiences, mm-hmm. because I also was just obsessed with my N64. I played a lot of Mario 64 as well, even went on to play the remake that they put on the, was it the 3DS or the DS? The DS. They had the remake on the DS that came out. Super, super fun. I will also throw into the mix Majora's Mask.
See, I didn't discover that until like DS times. It didn't come with our N64 that we got, so it didn't exist.
Majora's Mask is probably my favorite N64 game.
Yeah.
It was the first Zelda game that I played, although I do think my mom had, is it A Link to the Past? One of the Zelda games on the NES, but I don't really think I ever played it. So I'm going to say Majora's Mask was my first Zelda game. I played that before I even knew Ocarina of Time existed. Very similarly, like, I never owned Ocarina of Time until much later in life, and I just knew about it from, like, friends that had it, and I would go over and watch like a buddy play it kind of thing, you know. But I loved Majora's Mask again as but a wee lad. I actually don't think I ever finished Majora's Mask until much later in life. I have beaten the game, but it probably wasn't until like I was a teenager until I finally did it, and also mostly because that game is terrifying.
Oh yeah, it's
we're not gonna pretend like
it's not a children's
we're not gonna pretend like this is not easily like a horror game.
Oh yeah,
I very much consider that to be a horror game.
Mm-hmm.
It is terrifying, especially when you are a kid.
Yeah, the music and like the sound effects and things like that, insane.
Yeah, great music, obviously Zelda, great music, but just so scary.
I did forget, I have, if people are watching, although I'm blocking it, I do have my N64 directly behind me, so I'm probably blocking, but it's my original, the one that we got from the yard sale. So I did not sell it. I still have it. Yep.
We love that. We have it on display. You have the N64 Podracer game back there too.
That's true. That one's not the original. I still have the original, but then I found an inboxed one. It was like used and stuff still, but I got an inboxed one, so I have that on display as well.
It's a little piece of nostalgia.
Yeah.
I'll move us on to our next, I guess, at this point, obviously, retro gaming console, and bring up the Game Boy.
Whoa.
Again, my mother's Game Boy. Obviously played Mario, but let's really go with what shaped me as a child and just rip the Band-Aid off on Pokemon.
Ooh, okay.
Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yep.
For the Game Boy, because that's what it was originally released mm-hmm. for, were by far my favorite games as a child. I actually consider Pokemon Blue to still be my favorite game of all time. I play it probably once a year, give or take a little bit. I really only say Pokemon Blue just because blue is my favorite color, so screw Pokemon Red. Although I think Pokemon Red has the better exclusive Pokemon that you can get, but that's besides the point. We will probably eventually do an entire episode on Pokemon at some point, where we probably even play Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we have to.
But I can just encapsulate all of this and say I have played every game in the Pokemon series. I have not missed a single one. If it says the word Pokemon, I have played it in some capacity. I can't guarantee you that I've finished every game. Like, especially the GameCube ones, I've played Gale of Darkness. I've played...
I don't know that one, I don't think.
Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
I've played those games, but I don't think I ever finished those games. Now that they will eventually be put on the Nintendo Switch Online, I probably will. Just not something that I ever got to do as a kid. I never owned a GameCube as a kid. Fun fact.
Yeah.
I never got to own a GameCube as a kid. I had friends that had the GameCube, but it was not something that I owned and really did not play that often. So I kind of missed out on a lot of those games. I've played them a little bit, but just not something that I got to do a ton of. So Pokemon games, stay tuned, because there's going to be a whole bunch of that headed your way. What's up next for you?
So the timeline here gets a little fuzzy.
The lore?
The Anna game lore, it gets a little fuzzy. I'm going to skip around a little bit because this is like obviously talking about the games that made us. So there were game consoles and games present in my household.
Yeah.
But these were like the ones that I was able to play. So after the N64 Pokemon Snap, the next console, like TV console game that we got was the PlayStation 2. And I say we, but actually it was my brother's. Mm-hmm. I think he got it for like birthday or Christmas or something, or maybe he even like helped chip in or something like that. So like it was his. And like I said, for some reason, I got in my mind that like, I can't get anything else. Like, if because we shared the N64 and that it was like kind of his as well, but because he had more interest in it. So then I was like, well, that's like his thing. So
yeah.
I can only play video games if he lets me play. And that goes on for a while. So the timeline is kind of weird, but
was that something that like, you just made up on your own, or was that something that like your brother kind of like
encouraged? No. So, I mean, it was his, like that the PS2 for sure was his, but for some reason, nothing that he said or my parents said, like, I just didn't even think literally until I was making this list of like, why didn't I just ask for one myself? Like, obviously, it's a big purchase, but like,
sure.
I didn't even think to ask my parents like, oh, well, he has the PS2. So like, can I have one or can I have like a different thing? It was just like, that's what he asked for. I don't know.
That makes sense.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was because like I knew it was a big purchase. So like, I didn't want to, I think I was just dumb. Like, I just really didn't even think that I could have one of these. But yeah, he got the PS2 and these were all his games that he got that I could play with him or that he let me play with him. So it was, we played, or actually the other thing, I also really enjoyed just watching. That was another thing where like, I didn't so much enjoy playing as I do just watch it. Like, I have a love of video games, but I have played like in the grand scheme of things, I've played very few video games. I've seen a lot of video games.
Sure.
And then when like, you know, Let's Plays and things like that on YouTube were a thing, I have watched a ton of video games, but I just always enjoyed watching him play stuff. So like, when he would let me play or like ask me to play, I'd be like, oh yeah, nice. But like, I wouldn't really think to be like, hey, can I get this game? Or like, I'm interested in playing this game. It was just like, whenever he would go down to the basement and like play, I would want to watch. So we played a lot of Lord of the Rings games, Lord of the Rings Two Towers, because that was like one of the only co-op games for a while that we had. Yeah. That we had for a while.
I know I played that game. I just don't remember it being.
Yeah, you could play all the different characters. It was really cool. I really liked it a lot. And he like was very much into Lord of the Rings. We had the soundtrack blaring for like all through the house for a while. So like it was just a cool vibe. So we did like Two Towers, we did Return of the King, Pac-Man World 2, which we played on the channel. That was a big thing. And later in life, I would go on to like just play it by myself on the PS2. Because it's just a one player game, but I would love watching him play that, and then I loved playing that. A little bit of Call of Duty. When he got into that, he would let me play some Call of Duty with him every now and then. Although that was more of like a boys. That was like,
yeah, Call of Duty is for the boys.
Yeah, that was for the boys. But occasionally he would let me play that, and I felt so cool. I was like, yeah, nice. I'm a gamer. Early PS2, I guess these are all early PS2, but Need for Speed, like racing games. Soul Calibur 2.
Whoa.
I have great memories of that. That was really fun. Time Crisis 3.
Time Crisis.
Yeah, and that one came with,
classic.
I don't know why my parents, I don't know. Not that they're, like, it's bad. It's not a bad game. Obviously, it's like shooting people. But like, I don't. Now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, I'm so surprised that they even got that. It came with the like the arcade gun, like they're like orange ginormous plastic. Mm-hmm. Those were the controllers. Yeah. And I thought it was so sick. And so I played that with him occasionally, and that was awesome. I felt so cool. And then Battlefront 2, he would also let me play with
him. Star Wars
Classic.
Battlefront 2.
So good.
One of the best video games ever made.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would agree to that. Yeah. People our age would agree and say that Battlefront 2 is maybe a top five PlayStation 2 game ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I already had at that point like a big love for Star Wars, so that was really fun for me when I got to play that one. But then what changed literally everything was the game that we are currently playing, Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
Like, obviously this is a one-player game. I could watch this for hours, and I did. Like, I was just so blown away by the fact that this is like Disney. And at this point, this was maybe like, I don't know, late elementary school for me, maybe early middle school, but probably late elementary. And I was just like so blown away that this was a thing. Like, it combined Disney characters, but then there's like a violent aspect.
As we're about to get into.
Right. And
I'm
like,
interrupt you and say, this is one of my least favorite boss fights in all of Kingdom Hearts.
Wow.
I will probably die to this thing at least 7 times. Just throwing that out there. If you're just listening, we're very early on in the game. We're in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with it, the heartless boss that shows up is
the juggler guy
in my butthole.
Yeah.
But please continue. Kingdom
Hearts. But yeah, I just like, it was edgy for, you know, an elementary school. I was like, oh my God, it's so edgy. And like the Final Fantasy characters, I didn't know about Final Fantasy at that time, but I knew like that was a crazy thing to mix with Disney. And
Kingdom Hearts was my intro into Final Fantasy. Yeah. I knew nothing about the Final Fantasy series until Kingdom Hearts.
And it just like, I don't know. I was so blown away by it all. And like, obviously it's very cheesy and
it's very cheap.
Yeah, and the dialogue's not great, but for an elementary school kid, I was like, this is the pinnacle of video games. This is amazing. It doesn't get any better than this. So I would watch him play that for hours.
Yeah. It's definitely not a game that really holds up well, if I'm being honest. I think if you're a kid today and you're like, I'm going to get into classic retro gaming and you try Kingdom Hearts, you will probably end up quitting the game.
Yeah.
I think this game
it's hard.
This game sticks around strictly because of the nostalgia glasses that people put on for it.
Yep.
And I feel that way probably about a lot of the games that we're probably going to talk about, but Kingdom Hearts in particular, it's really hard as an adult to see why anyone would have liked this game. But I love it.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah.
When I was a kid, this was the greatest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing was better than turning on Kingdom Hearts. But as an adult, I sit here and I'm like, how did anyone like this game? How did this game get any traction? Why did anybody like this game? I'm getting my butt whooped, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, so that was just like a huge, and that's why we're playing it while we're talking about this episode, because it kind of played a big role in both of our childhoods. And I would say, like, this, as soon as we started talking about this topic, what we were going to talk about, this was the first game that popped into my head.
Of course, Donald and Goofy are both dead now.
Right, they do nothing. But this was the first game that popped into my head. But just the best memories of this game. And it's definitely going to keep popping up for me in my list of games here. But I mean, this was like pinnacle for me.
I think it's the pinnacle for a lot of kids our age.
Yeah.
I will counter that and say, I actually played Kingdom Hearts 2 first, which is wild to say, but I did. Kingdom Hearts 2 was the first Kingdom Hearts game I played. And I believe Kingdom Hearts 2 is the best in the series. I think we might have disagreed on that a little bit.
Yes. Because my favorite is going to pop up a little bit later
in the discussion.
Yeah. No spoilers.
But Kingdom Hearts 2 is I think, the best in the series. I think it's one of the... Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I hate this thing so much.
Ugh.
I think it's one of the best games in the series. The second game, yes. I think it's one of the best games on the PS2, period. I think it's one of the best RPG games out there. I think it's one of the best RPG games you can play is Kingdom Hearts 2.
Hot
just
take.
Because of everything that gets to come with it, the fact that Sora changed costumes so much,
yeah,
all the different limits you could turn into, they introduced so much into the series that really, really, really made it feel good.
That's true.
Do you have any other PS2 games at
all? No, those were my heavy hitters.
Because I'll add to the PS2 mix, I loved the PS2. The PS2, I think I've said this in videos before, the PS2 I consider to be the greatest gift I have ever received.
Aww.
I got it for Christmas in, I don't know what year, 2002 probably, 2003, probably 2002. That sounds right to me. I think that's when the PS2 came out. I never owned a PlayStation 1. So the PS2 was my intro to PlayStation and my intro into really what would be like the rest of my gaming interests, because pretty much from that point forward, I spent a lot of time as a PlayStation person.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got away from Nintendo consoles for a while, and I really stuck, I'm going to lose, really stuck with PlayStation stuff. And I was great, lovely. But I will add Sly Cooper into the mix. Mm. I think there's a lot of people out there who think Sly Cooper is also one of the best PS2 games you can get. I also think Jak and Daxter is up there. Classic Jak and Daxter. One of my all-time favorite games. One of my all-time favorite series. Jak 2, Jak 3.
Pardon me.
I never did...
Continue.
My gosh. I never did play the Jak game on... Was it PSP that it came out on? PS Vita? There was
PS Vita game. They're back to PS Vita.
But I never played that. But Jak and Daxter, one of the best games I ever played. I loved it so much. I loved Jak 2 so much when it came out. Obviously, we've already talked about Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. That's really all I played on my PS2. I was notorious, and I still really am notorious for this. I was notorious for like not really wanting a lot of newer games. I just played the same like 5 games over and over again. The amount of times that I played Sly Cooper is probably criminal. The amount of times that I played Sly 2 is probably criminal. I don't even think I ever played Sly Cooper 3. I'm trying to think if I have. I don't think I did. But I definitely played Sly 1 and 2 a lot. And that was pretty much all of my gaming experience when those games were out, was Sly Cooper. Really, really liked Sly Cooper. Jak and Daxter was again, just really, really good. I think I played Jak 2 constantly. I think Jak 2 was probably a game like Saturday morning, no school. I would wake up early. I would sneak downstairs so my parents wouldn't wake up, because I knew as soon as my parents woke up, there'd be things I had to do. So I'd be like, if I can just be quiet, if I can just do this really quietly, I can get downstairs without them noticing. And I would fire up the PS2. You got to mute the TV when the PS2 turns on.
Yep.
Because of that obnoxious and nostalgic and amazing startup sound. But man, is that thing loud. And then you were good to go. I would get like a solid hour or two of gaming time in while my parents like slept and had nightmares about the economy and how they were going to like afford everything in life while everything was getting ready to go to absolute garbage. But I thought it was great. I think the PS2 really, truly shaped everything that has to do with how I play video games now. I think if I had never gotten the PS2, I would not have been somebody who turned into a lover of video games.
Wow.
Even with the N64 in my possession, even with the Game Boy in my possession, and eventually what we can talk about later, the Game Boy Color in my possession, I don't think I would have turned into a video game lover without the PS2. I think that is truly what shaped everything about who I am as a person in the hobby of video games today.
Dang, that's huge.
Huge, huge. The PS2, and we have that too. I don't know if you can
see. I know, I was trying to think, there. Is that yours or is that mine?
That is my childhood PS2. Okay. That is my childhood PS2 that still very much works. I love it. I keep it around. I do not have any of the...
Oh, I guess I don't have my PS2, but I think my brother has that now.
It's probably down in your parents' basement.
No, I can't remember. He now lives in Germany. I can't remember if that was something that was shipped...
Oh, to your brother?
...over, or that he took at some point, or if maybe it is still in the basement. I'm not sure.
Maybe it is. What do you got up next for us?
Okay, so... Again, the timeline is a little weird, but I'm going to do a quick honorable mention for Halo 3 for the Xbox 360.
I didn't know you were a Halo player.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm literally not. I would play only when my brother let me, slash when he wanted someone to play with. So, yeah, my brother was very much into the PlayStation, obviously PlayStation 2, but then he got the 360. And that was like, that was his thing. Like, he was like fully immersed in Xbox 360 world. But Halo 3, yeah, we played that quite a bit. So I really enjoyed playing that with him. But because of, and the reason why I did an honorable mention, because he got the 360, he no longer really cared about his PlayStation. And he also at this time had accumulated handheld games. So he had the Game Boy Pocket, which came with the N64. But anyway, so that was like, he gave that to me like many years prior because he was like, this thing sucks. But he also got then the Game Boy Advance, and then he got the Game Boy SP?
SP.
Yeah.
Advanced SP.
Yeah. So he didn't really play those anymore. And those were like his everything in like the PlayStation 2 era. When he wasn't playing the PlayStation 2, he would be doing handheld stuff. But because he got the 360, he didn't want those anymore, I guess. And he kind of gave them to me, kind of. He was like, you can borrow these, which was like a huge deal because he is very particular about his stuff. Okay, well, you just died for no reason. But anyway, so I inherited his Game Boy Advance, and that's when, and also several of his games, that's when I was introduced to Pokemon. Or at least that's when I played Pokemon myself.
Like Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald.
Pokemon Blue, Yellow, Silver, Crystal, and maybe one of the first games that like I had that was just mine. We both got versions of Pokemon Blue. So he had his own copy and then I had my own copy.
Mistake not getting Red and Blue together.
I know. We didn't, again, I just got whatever like my brother got because that's all I knew. But yeah, so we like, it was his console for a while, his Game Boy, but we both had our own game. And then I also got, I don't think he actually got Pokemon Emerald. I wanted Pokemon Emerald. This was obviously a bit later, but that was like, ugh, I loved that guy. And obviously, like, so does everyone else. That's
sure.
Like, but
that's the game.
Right. And for good reason. I was obsessed. I was like, look at these colors. This is amazing.
This is the pinnacle of technology.
Oh my God. And like, yeah, just like the reflections on the water. I remember being like, whoa, I can see my reflection in the puddle.
Cool. Yeah. The reflections were one of the coolest parts of the game.
Yeah. And then the music and the fact that they were like the beauty pageants. Oh, I freaking love.
Yeah.
The secret bases. What were those called? Secret bases. Just, like the little plushies that you can get with the secret. It just like everything was so cool. Mm. And I loved Pokemon Emerald. So I actually don't think he ever had Pokemon Emerald. I guess went out and got it or something. I don't know. But yeah, that was like my first really Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Emerald were like my games that he didn't have. I had like my own copies. But yeah, those were big. The PS or not PS, well, after the PS2 were the Game Boy Advance games. And then I did play that. Well, I'll get to that. I'll volley it back to you. But I did play some of those on other consoles, which I'll talk about in a second. But
can I not buy items? I need potions, man. I really need
from
to buy
Sid?
Potions. No, he sells me accessories.
Oh.
I need items.
I haven't played this game in forever.
Neither have I. I don't think I've played this game in probably 5 years.
It's definitely been longer for me.
My brain is so full of so many other things, but that's okay. I do think, however, that we need to interrupt this regularly scheduled podcast to bring you a little gaming news.
My goodness.
This is a segment that we're going to do as part of this podcast, too, where we try to recap all of the important gaming news from the previous week. If you're somebody that likes to keep up with this stuff like I am, this is your one-stop shop to all things gaming news. It was actually a pretty big week for video games. Fans finally have a release date for Hollow Knight Silksong.
Oh, this looks so gorgeous.
Crazy. That's right, folks. The highly anticipated sequel to 2017's beloved Metroidvania is finally just a few weeks away. While many believing that Silksong was simply lost to time and never to see the light of day, it was actually a Nintendo Direct before the release of the Switch 2 that told fans the game was coming later this year. Nintendo just casually dropped it at the end of their Direct showcasing like indie games, and people just like flipped out because everyone was expecting this whole big hullabaloo over this game that we've been waiting 8 years for. And Nintendo was like, here's 3 seconds, it's happening. But it wasn't until this past week that developers Team Cherry finally gave fans what they've been looking for, a September 4th release day.
Wow.
Only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If you're a fan of the original Hollow Knight or the genre in general, you will likely not want to miss this game. It will definitely be the most popular game when it comes out. Maybe even a Game of the Year contender. People want this game.
Have you played Hollow Knight?
People will be camping out for this game. I have played bits and pieces of Hollow Knight.
I have
not finished Hollow Knight. I know that's like
a
cardinal sin of gaming.
It looks gorgeous.
Because it is considered one of the greatest things ever created.
Yeah.
Gamescom 2025, big gaming convention happened this past week too, and revealed a ton of new games for us. Fans of Game Science's Black Myth Wukong will be happy to know that another game is on the way. Black Myth Zhongkui, based on the traditional Chinese folktale Zhongkui Banishing Evil. No release date has been set. Fans also got a look at Resident Evil Requiem, the next up in the series, set to release in February 2026. And Sucker Punch revealed their upcoming Ghost of Yotei will, in fact, have a co-op multiplayer DLC coming next year as well. That game coming in October. Other trailers from Gamescom you may want to check out include September's Silent Hill F, a new Lego Batman title, and Call of Duty Black Ops 7 coming in November. So really like a big week for video games. There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening in the games world. There's a lot of big releases getting ready to come. So if you're a fan of any of those games, you only got a couple weeks, a month or two to wait around. I'm super excited personally for Ghost of Yotei.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sequel to Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima, I think, is easily the best game for the PS5.
Mm.
And I say that because several other games Maybe it was released for the PS4 too, now that I think about it. I don't remember. I think it was a PS5 exclusive. And if I'm wrong, someone can yell at me in the comments. A lot of other games were released for the PS5 and the PS4. The PS5 doesn't have a lot of exclusives. I think Ghost of Tsushima was only released for the PS5. It has since been released on PC and some other things, but I don't think it was released for the PS4. But fantastic game if you have not played. I highly recommend it. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, did you want to add another? I talked about, that was like my elementary school era. I don't know if you still wanted to talk about if you had another one to add or...
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of like older things. Because like I said, I mean, even now as an adult, I'm someone that likes to go back and just like replay all the same games that I've played forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably how I like disassociate from the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I probably really need to unpack that in therapy about how I won't let go of my childhood. I'm sure it's not healthy, but whatever. So I also will talk briefly about the Game Boy Advance. You already mentioned Pokemon.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll do a whole episode of it.
But I'm also going to throw Super Mario World into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Only the levels where you got to ride Yoshi,
mm-hmm.
or when you had the cape. Mm. Other than that, I couldn't give two toots about that game. I only care for the levels with Yoshi and the cape. Unfortunately, that means playing the other levels to get to that point. But as a kid, I only cared about riding Yoshi. I especially loved when Yoshi would get away from you and you had to go chasing after it.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to look it up. I don't know. Maybe I didn't play this. I thought I knew at first, but
I think you'll recognize it when you see it.
I think I have played this.
I loved when Yoshi would get away from you and you had to go chasing after it. I loved the little sound of Yoshi's tongue. I loved when you got to eat the little apples and his cheeks got all big. Everything except for the levels that didn't have Yoshi. So there's my two cents into that game. I'm sure it's a fantastic game all the way around. I'm sure it is. Me as a kid only cared about those two things. And Sonic Advance 2 was actually one of my favorite Game Boy Advance games. I played it a lot. I played, like, that was like my road trip game. When I was in the car, I would play a lot of Sonic Advance 2, especially once I had an SP and I was able to actually
I don't
see
remember
the dark.
This part.
You don't remember this part?
No,
this
not at all.
This is where you get to Merlin.
Oh.
And this is how you get to Winnie the Pooh World.
Interesting.
And I'm only coming here to run away from the boss fight.
Gotcha.
Oh my gosh. That's also the game that I believe introduced Cream. The rabbit.
Cream.
And her chow cheese. And cream cheese. And the chow garden. That was always fun. You got to like raise little chows. And like.
Like puffles.
Feed them and like give them little things and play with them. And I think there might have been some mini games involving them. I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember that much. It has been a very long time since I played that game. That is not a game I've come back to since I was probably like, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. But I do have a very, very, very vivid memory of that game. So that's kind of it for me in terms of like the retro stuff.
Okay.
I think I could probably skip ahead to some of the more modern consoles. I guess the Wii's probably considered a retro at this point, but whatever. What do you got next for us?
I have my middle school era, and this is where everything changed. So I was at YMCA summer camp, and all my camp friends had the DS.
Whoa.
And one girl in particular, we would go around, we would like watch her play Nintendogs and Animal Crossing, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And she had like the original DS.
I think you mentioned Nintendogs like once a week in the house. You
that's
find,
not even true.
You find a reason.
That's literally. And not, I mentioned it like last week for the first time, maybe ever.
No.
Yes.
No.
But I was like, this is the I need this. I need this in my life. And so I don't know if it was for like a birthday or Christmas thing. I just got it somehow, but I got the DS Lite. And this is the very, very, very first console that I ever got for myself. And so, yeah, I got the DS Lite. I didn't get the original DS, but I obviously had to get Nintendogs and Animal Crossing Wild World. I did have other games, but those two were like the big heavy hitters. I played those games all the time, and we would just like sit on the floor in the YMCA and just like play Nintendogs and like go over to each other's houses. And,
yeah,
like,
forget playing basketball.
Have play dates. Yeah,
no, participating in the summer camp.
No, I didn't want to be there anyway. I just want to play Nintendogs with my friends, and we would Nintendogs, dude. I just like I was thinking about this when I was making this my list. It just like. Everything about that game. I don't think there's a bad thing about that game. It's so good. You can like, and also I didn't have a dog at this point.
The dogs die, right?
No, they can't die.
It can starve though. You can be awful to them.
Yeah, you can. They can go hungry. But no, I didn't have a dog at this point, and I had always wanted a dog, and so this was like my intro to getting a dog. And I was like, but look, I'm like taking care of my Nintendogs and like all this stuff.
I'm responsible. Let me
yeah. do this
for real.
And I like enjoyed walking that, like, oh, the walks. Oh my God. All of the now. Yeah. Well, now all like the sounds are like TikTok sounds and stuff. Not all of them, but some of them I've heard recently. And I was like, oh my God. Like when you give them a bath, just like I could hear all the sounds. It was just the coolest thing. It's literally just owning a dog, but it was the cutest. You taking him on walks, getting him like collars and special hats and clothes and stuff. Oh my God. And I had a bunch of them because I feel like each cartridge had like special dogs.
There were different dogs in each game, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can get like all the dogs in one.
That's how they got you
game. Yeah, so I was like, well, I have to get the dachshund one, or like I had a Yorkie named Pancake.
Shout out Pancake. Starving in that DS cartridge, right?
Oh yeah, you're right. But yeah, oh my God, I love Nintendogs. I should get it out because I
Do you still have that game?
Oh yeah, I still have my DS. It's probably in this room somewhere behind me in those bins. But yeah, I still have that. And then Animal Crossing, obviously.
Classic Animal
Crossing. I didn't realize until I was doing this list that it came out for the GameCube originally.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. This was my first introduction to Animal Crossing, was on the DS. And I mean, come on. It's still a classic. It's still a beloved game.
Like the classic cozy game.
Yeah. 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 And I was all about that. I'm still all about, I don't want stress. I don't want, if I forget / when I forget to play the game, I don't want like to forget, I don't know, like a bajillion button combinations that I'll have to relearn. It's just like, you come back and it's just the same game. Maybe your place is full of weeds.
A little messy.
And cockroaches.
But then you just get to clean it
right,
up.
Right, you just clean it up. And it's
just
the best.
Spend time.
It's cleaning. Awesome. I definitely did cheat and had like a game shark and got like unlimited bells.
The kids out there don't know what a game shark is.
I know. Actually, I think my friend Liz, got it, and then like she got the unlimited bells, and then I would go over to her town, and she would just like give me the bells. So I technically didn't cheat, but I also did. So yeah, I mean, come on, it was just my favorite thing ever for years. But yeah, middle school me, that was my first ever console, my first ever handheld game that I owned, and it was just mine for me.
We love that.
All right, what's your next one?
I don't know that I have anything to add to the world of the DS. I'm trying to think.
Did you have a DS?
I did have a DS. 100% had a DS. Especially if we're gonna just be talking about Pokemon later, I don't need to mention Diamond Pearl or anything like that. We can talk about those games later and how they almost made me leave Pokemon forever.
Whoa.
They're not well-made games.
And those were the last games, and we could obviously talk more about this, but those were the last games, Pokemon games, that I played. Like, I don't know any of the other... actually, that's a lie. Kind of.
You know of them.
I barely know the other Pokemon after... What was it? X? I had X on the DS, and I played it for, like, I don't know, maybe 2 hours max. And then I was like, I don't like this. This is, where are my starters? Where are my, like, my OG? My OG was always, like, Torchic, which I know is not.
I mean, OG, I don't know. Yeah, Torchic would have been in there. You would have really? Loved the remakes. They remade Ruby and Sapphire for the 3DS.
Oh, shoot. Well,
you completely missed Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
And oh, you're so 8. Right. I do remember that. I don't. Yeah, I never had them, but I do now remember. Oh, shoot. Maybe I should get them now.
Those are. I have Dang. Them. You just put mine.
Oh, my God. I'm so.
They're actually some of my favorite games in the series. I think they're very well made games.
I mean, yeah, Ruby and Sapphire were just. Ugh. Come on. Yeah.
But so, Diamond and Pearl were Pokemon's first
failures
on the DS. Oh. Well, yeah. were the first things they put on the DS, and I think it was very obvious they didn't really know how the DS worked.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very, very poorly made. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Beyond that, honestly, I think I already said the Mario 64 remake on the DS. Mm-hmm. I played that. I didn't play a lot of DS games. Again, my childhood was Pokemon. I played Pokemon.
Oh,
even
that
when the DS came out, I just used the Game Boy Advance slot to play the Game Boy Advance Pokemon games.
And I think I also, couple things I want to add. I also did play a lot of Emerald on my DS. Mm. I actually might have even gotten Emerald. I can't. That's why I said the timeline is fuzzy. I might have gotten Emerald after I got my DS. Mm. So, yeah, I definitely did play because that was a game, but you couldn't play.
You couldn't
regular Game Boy.
You couldn't do Game Boy or Game Boy Color games, or you could do Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah, so maybe.
And then when the DS Lite and all that came out, they stopped giving you that option too.
Yeah, so maybe I got Emerald after I got my DS. Now I can't remember, but and then that's also how I played Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask for the first time. Was on my DS. So
you mean 3DS.
Yes,
they were remade for the 3DS.
That's right. So I will talk about those a little bit later.
I'm trying to think, I guess. The Wii would be the next natural progression. I didn't play a lot of Wii. I had a Wii. By the time I'd gotten, I guess the Wii came out like late middle school, early high school, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of like, I went through the phase of like, ugh, video games. I'm way too cool for video games. And so I didn't play a lot of the newer video games. The one that comes to mind on the Wii, even though I know it was released for the GameCube first, was Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. I played a lot of that game. Yeah, it was originally released for the GameCube.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was
re-released
for, on
it
Wii.
For the Wii.
Hmm.
And actually, when they released it for the Wii, they flipped it. The Wii version is a mirror image of the GameCube version. I don't know why they did that.
Maybe because of the controls. Most people are like right-handed.
But it doesn't use motion controls.
Oh,
but I don't know. They created a mirror image of the game.
Fun fact.
For the Wii version.
Huh.
Don't know why. Has no understanding of that. I'm sure someone else out there does. But that's really it for me on the Wii. Like, I think I owned two games on the Wii. And one of them was that. And the other one was some, like, really crappy James Bond game that had, like, online multiplayer. My parents were very late to the game in terms of getting Wi-Fi.
Mm.
So I never really was able to hook my Wii up to the internet at all until one of my next door neighbors had unprotected Wi-Fi. They did not practice safe Wi-Fi.
Oof.
They did not have a password.
Wow.
So I was able to sort of
their Wi-Fi.
Sort of. Like, it was obviously
spotty
bad Wi-Fi from back in like 2006, 2007, and very spotty. Very weak signals. It barely worked. But every now and then, I was able to get like an online game of this James Bond game. And I don't even remember what it was called. I'll be so honest. I don't remember what it was called. So that's like my one foray into online gaming.
Wow.
Is that. And that's probably also why I don't play a lot of online games. Is because I don't really have access to the internet to play a lot of like online multiplayer games.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I grew up getting to do. So it's not something that I particularly enjoy doing now. My parents were so behind the internet game. It wasn't even funny. They only really got good internet and like a decent computer when they realized that I needed it for school.
Mm.
When they were like late middle school, early high school, they were like, yeah, you're going to be typing all your papers from now on and you need Microsoft Word and all this stuff. That was them. Until then, we had like the bare minimum essential computer that maybe turned on when you wanted it to, and maybe stayed on when you wanted it to. And it was really not good. That's pretty much it for, like, I don't know, my childhood games.
Well, then let me do a really quick finish up kind of my childhood game, because, or at least still like middle school era. Yeah. I had one game for PSP, mm-hmm. and it was really my brother's. My brother PSP had the PSP. Mentioned. And again, in the era of like him, he already moved on to Xbox 360 and probably other things at this point, PS4, I don't know. And so he gave me his PSP. Granted, there's probably like two good games for the PSP anyway. But he gave me his PSP, and he also had Birth by Sleep. Mm. And so I inherited that.
Got it. Now, and I know where we're going.
Yes.
Because this is your favorite.
This is my favorite Kingdom Hearts game. Animal Crossing.
Kingdom Hearts Animal Crossing.
That would be crazy.
Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't done some kind of a cross.
But yeah, Birth by Sleep was like, oh, that also changed my life. It's
phenomenal.
Yeah, I was like, I could play three different characters and get like three different storylines. It was just like, yeah, I have such good memory. And because it was handheld, like that was also a crazy thing where like I was so used to seeing Kingdom Hearts on
the big screen.
The big screen, the TV and PlayStation controllers.
By big screen, we mean like the 13-inch box.
Oh, I don't know. We had a pretty big TV in our basement. All right. No, but it like that was crazy for me. I was like, whoa, I could like carry this around with me and just like play it in my room. But yeah, so that was definitely my favorite game. I need to go back and play. I still have the PSP. He ended up giving it to me because, again, there were like maybe two good games. That was the only game that I inherited. He probably had other games that he played on the PSP, but maybe that was the only reason why he got it. I'm pretty sure that was the only reason why he got his PSP. So that might have been the only game that we had for that. Mm-hmm. But I still have that. It's amazing. Aqua and Terra Invented, like that whole storyline was just
game.
Like
that is a fantastic game.
Yeah,
fantastic characters. I will say, I think it probably is the Kingdom Hearts franchise's best written story.
Yeah.
Kind of wish they had just let it be such a standalone thing.
I know. I think
things got really convoluted when they tried hard to like put those people into the rest of the series. They made it a little too convoluted, I think, for their own good.
And it's already convoluted. It's already, like, it doesn't need to be. Yeah.
They didn't need to make it any worse than it was.
No.
But no, great game. I do agree. I bet there are plenty of people out there who also agree that Birth by Sleep might be the best Kingdom Hearts game. I just had such a good experience with Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
And I didn't play Birth by Sleep until this game that we're playing now came out, the 1.5 and 2.5, the remakes, when they released all the games together.
Yeah.
I didn't play Birth by Sleep on the PSP. I never owned a PSP. So my intro into that game was...
You didn't miss out. This is not great.
It was much later in life.
Yeah.
And so that's probably also why I don't consider it to be... Oh my gosh. Mm. Consider it to be Kingdom Hearts' best game, you know?
Well, and actually I realized that I didn't play Kingdom Hearts 2 until much later. I was allowed to play the first one here and there.
Cool if Donald wanted to do something like heal me.
Classic.
You know, Donald, your one job in this game...
I would watch my brother play the first one over and over and over, but then I would play it, and I watched him play the second one,
Get out of my life.
He beat it.
My God. I boss.
But yeah, it wasn't until later where I actually play. I don't even know if I beat the second one on my own. Mm. Maybe I did. I don't remember, but I didn't play it till much later in life. Maybe it was the remix. I don't remember. But maybe that's why it's not near and dear to my heart. I mean, it is, but I don't have as many memories of it. Yeah, that kind of ends my middle school era. And then I have just a little bit in high school. But if you want to...
No, keep going.
Oh, okay. So real quick, the next thing after DS Lite and the PSP, I then got my 3DS XL. Mm-mm. I don't remember when this might have been like 9th or 10th grade when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, because I remember I was like, I guilted my parents into me like, but I'm gonna be so sore and I'm sick and not feeling well for a while, so like it would be really cool if I had something to play. So my dad, I remember he took me to Best Buy and we got the 3DS. I originally was going to get the purple, the not XL, but the purple one.
Yeah.
And then the guys at Best Buy convinced me to get the XL. And I like maybe used the 3D feature like once. It's not great. Oh,
most people would say that. The 3D feature on the 3DS is terrible.
Yeah.
It made a lot of people sick.
Oh, it did. It did make me sick. And actually, that was the one thing that the guy told me, because I was like, he was talking all about the 3DS feature. And then I was like, it was either me or my dad was like, maybe not after you get your wisdom teeth taken out. And I was like, good call. But yeah, I got the 3DS and I can't remember when I got these games, if I got them like that day, but I definitely got Animal Crossing New Leaf for the XL, and then Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. So that's why we're playing Kingdom Hearts today, because it comes up a lot, at least for me. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. I honestly, now that I'm like, when I was putting it on my list, I don't think I actually finished it. I remember getting stuck in Monstro.
Yeah.
And I don't think I think I just rage quit because I was like, I don't know how to get out of here. And I didn't want to cheat and look it up.
Sure. I liked Dream Drop Distance. I did finish Dream Drop Distance. I definitely put it.
It's not. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't my favorite, but I did really like it. And I liked that you could pet your dream eaters,
which we also have.
Oh, yeah. My Meow Wow. Oh, it's not in frame.
I think it's on my side,
but I have it. Oh, no, it's right here. There he is, somewhere. But yeah, I have my Meow Wow, and I loved just having that little feature, and you could pet him with your stylist, and it was so cute.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like a quick, and I did get other games for my XL, but I honestly don't remember a ton of them. I guess, like you were saying, the Pokemon X, or no, what was for the XL? What was I saying? That was when I got Majora's Mask and others. Yeah, those were my two big games, and that I really didn't play a ton in high school. I had my 3DS and would play occasionally Dream Drop Distance, Animal Crossing, but I kind of like stopped playing video games for a while, and that was really all I did in high school, was occasionally play, in terms of video games, and it was play those two games on my 3DS. And then after that is some bigger stuff. So I don't know if you had any other.
I don't have anything else to add. I mean, I mostly
that's
just
your wanted, list.
I just mostly wanted to go through my childhood.
Whoa, okay.
You know, well, if we're talking about the games that made us,
I guess
I want to go into the stuff that I talk like in my adult life.
Oh, because
by then I'm already made. I'm made. I'm me.
Wow, good I'm for you. Me. Good for you.
For better or for worse, I got news for you. I'm me.
Well, I did put in pretty much like up until now. I literally went through my entire timeline because those are the game. Like those are the games that have led me to hear this channel, because I for a good chunk of my life, I didn't have games of my own. And then, like I said, like in high school, I had my DS, my 3DS, but after that, I really didn't do much.
Yeah.
And then when I got to college,
I showed up. Let's be real.
No. When I got to college, well, I kind of, but when I, yeah, I guess so. I mean, we'll talk, that'll be our next episode. But when I got to college, even like in up until like my junior year, maybe it was my senior year. When did I do student teaching? Is that senior year? Yeah, I guess so. Senior year, we would play video games together a little bit, but not a ton. But my senior year is when I moved away to do student teaching. And that's when Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. And I was like, I need this game. But it came out for, what, PS4?
Yep.
And I didn't have a PS4. So I was like, I guess I got to get a PS4. So I...
One game.
Yeah, I ordered a PlayStation 4, and I ordered with the pre-order with Kingdom Hearts 3, and I accidentally ordered, I was living in Harrisburg at the time. My parents lived like an hour and a half away. I accidentally had it delivered to my parents' house. So over the weekend, it was like a Friday night. I drove to my parents' house from Harrisburg and went and got, I think I probably stayed the night, but then afterwards I was like, see ya. And then like went back and played for the rest of the weekend in my room. But yeah, I played that all the way through in like no time. That was my everything. And then I didn't really play a ton else on my PS4. I did get Jedi Fallen Order, but that was after I moved to Ohio, to Columbus, for grad school. So that was a little bit later. But yeah, I didn't play a ton in college either. And then, oh, that's right. I guess before Jedi Fallen Order, shortly after I got my PS4, I also got the Switch. Because that had already been out for a while. So like the initial hype was out, but so it wasn't like crazy getting one. I just went to Target one day to get groceries, and then I came back with a Switch.
You went out for a gallon of milk and came back with a Nintendo Switch.
Yep. And then that like changed everything. That got me back into video games again.
It's always the handhelds that do it for you.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm a handheld
to, like,
girly.
Something on the go, or being able to just like lay on the couch and do something makes such a huge...
I am a handheld girly. So I liked the fact that, like, obviously, I mean, everyone knows what Switch is, but I like the fact that you can put it into your TV, but then also just like sit on the couch and play it. So yeah, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, obviously Animal Crossing, especially during COVID times and things like that. And now like Pokemon Snap, when the new one came out, oh, come on. That was like, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. I never got a game that fast. It was awesome. I love that game. And then yeah, the Switch 2 I just got. So I don't know. Those are my games. Those are the games that made Lil Anna.
The games that made Anna, Anna.
Yeah.
A lot of games, though.
It is a lot of games. But I get, like, I out of all of those, I've only ever completed just the Kingdom Hearts games.
Oh, I need the Yellow Trinity.
Even Jedi Fallen Order, I got to the very final boss, and I'm a Star Wars, like, girly. Mm. I have a tattoo of Jedi, a Fallen Order tattoo.
And you haven't finished
the game. Because I got to the last.
How embarrassing.
I know. I got to the last boss and I just can't beat her. Mm-hmm. And I spent so many hours, and I even like looked up like how to beat. I just can't. So I just gave up. So on the very last boss. Yeah. So never finished that. But so like I played a lot of games, but I also like haven't completed all of them. I start them and then I'm like, eh, all right.
Well, that's it, folks.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, that's my lore, my gaming lore. But that's it for you, that you're like, you're done? That was your everything?
Done. I wanted to talk about the games from my childhood.
Okay.
We can spend time talking about the games from my adulthood a lot later if we want to.
Well, that was literally
everything for me.
That was, and
I definitely, like, I've played a lot more games than you have.
Yes.
I have played a significant amount more games than you.
And I think because, and I mentioned this briefly, but like, because I grew up just watching my brother play, like, quote unquote, his games, mm-hmm. I just got really used to watching games and not so much playing. And so that's really how I take in a lot of the gaming content now. Like, sure. I just don't have the capacity to, like, the mental capacity to sit down and like get stressed about beating a game or like getting sidetracked on like different quests and stuff like that. That just like, it doesn't stress me out necessarily, but it just kind of overwhelms me.
I think you just need to find the right game for you.
I know. And so I enjoy watching games. I don't know about more than I do playing video games, but I watch more games than I play.
That's fair.
So, yeah. But I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Right? This feels weird. I guess that's everything.
We've been through it. We started from the NES and made our way up to the PS4.
Wow. Our lore.
We have literally made our way into the present day. You even mentioned the Switch 2.
I did.
We have made it briefly as close to the present day as we possibly can.
That's true. Very true. That was my gaming lore. Like, that was the games that made me. That was literally everything that made us. Yeah, that's so true.
The games that made us. Because we share so many of the same games, too.
Yes, yes.
Which is what makes us so compatible.
Yeah, so true. But we're going to wrap it up on our very first episode of That Co-op Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we did reminiscing about our favorite childhood games.
If you liked hanging out with us, hit that follow button or subscribe and like the video if you're with us on YouTube. Every bit of support helps more awesome people find the show.
You can also find us on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, at That Co-op Couple. And now wherever you listen to your podcast, at That Co-op Podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks on September 8th with episode 2, where we will share how video games saved our long distance relationship.
Ooh. Thanks for gaming with us. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.